My guess this afternoon would be that none of us here know what it is to really hunger or thirst. The closest I ever got to hunger was doing a 24-hour sponsored fast when I was a teenager. Did you do one of those? Of course, nothing compared to those who lived through famine or drought. And so we may not have experienced hunger at that level, but we still know the great power of hunger and thirst. Miss just one meal in an active day, and we probably sat down at the table saying, "I'm starving." Of course, exaggerating, but that's how we feel. Take a long hike on a hot summer's day, and we're likely to stagger home into the kitchen saying that we're dying of thirst. We know the powerful driving forces that are hunger and thirst. And because we know of the physical need for food and water and the power of that, we can easily understand the intensity behind Jesus' words here in Matthew 5, verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." You see, what is true physically, this great need for quenching our thirst and meeting our hunger, is true of an equally basic need for us, the need to be filled deep down. That is the issue that Jesus is speaking of here. You see, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Being filled, fulfillment, satisfaction in life. It's something we need as much as food and water. It's something we find ourselves hungry for, thirsting after. We may not have analyzed it, but who hasn't talked about feeling empty inside? Maybe when we've gone through a hard time, but it doesn't have to be through a time of crisis. We don't have to be depressed or unsuccessful to mutter, "There must be more to life than this." See, just go through a time of life when life doesn't seem to be going anywhere, and we'll feel hungry for something more. We thirst for satisfaction in life. We want to be filled. We need to be filled. Indeed, when we have no hope of fulfillment in life, we will actually give up on life itself. I've met several sad old people who've said to me, "I just want to die." Not as the triumphant statement of a Christian looking forward to eternity with Jesus Christ in the new creation, but the resigned statement of a weary and defeated old codger who simply has nothing left to live for. "I just want to die." See, we need to be filled. Or to think that we can be, to have the hope that deep down satisfaction is out there somewhere. Well, Jesus says it isn't just out there, it's available. Jesus promises fulfillment to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you see verse 6? "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Now that's the issue then. Being satisfied in life is dependent on what we feed on to fill our hunger. What we actually drink to quench our thirst for life. Of course, if we eat the wrong things, we will never be satisfied. Have you ever had one of those days, maybe it's just me, when you just snack all day long? You know, you keep going back to the kitchen for a bag of crisps or hunt in the cupboard for that cake that you think might be there. You pop out to the shops for a bar of chocolate. All day long, you just keep snacking, but of course, you're never really full. And what you need to do is to sit down to a juicy steak and chips or to tuck into a Lancashire hot pot with piles of fresh vegetables. Apologies to vegetarians here. Whatever your equivalent is, then you go with that. But because you snack, you never feel really satisfied. You never satisfy your hunger. Now, many people go through life snacking on bits and pieces. Oh, tasty things for sure. You see, I like crisps and chocolate, but, you know, some things won't fill me. And we try to quench our thirst or meet our hunger for life in all manner of things. Some hunger and thirst after pleasure, thinking that pleasure will fill them. The posh word for it is hedonism. It comes in all different guises. One of them may be world travel. I think of friends of ours who gave up their jobs for 6 months, very brave step, traveled the world, they did. They had a wonderful time. They came back full of stories and experiences, full of photo albums, not quite so enjoyable. They did have a great time. And for a time, it seemed to satisfy. But now, 18 months on, well, now they're very restless. It's having actually a detrimental effect on life, and not least of all, on their relationship. They don't feel satisfied. They want some more. More world travel, is that the answer? Some hunger and thirst after pleasure. Others hunger and thirst after love to satisfy. See, Hollywood has done us a great disservice, hasn't it? I love watching films, the Hollywood films, but the message that Hollywood gives us is that really the meaning of life is found in love. Or if I'm going to be really cynical today, Hollywood tells us the meaning of life is found in sex. But let's not be so cynical. Let's just say it's love. We believe the Hollywood lie, don't we? So time and again, I meet people who are very successful in life, people who are not desperately unhappy, but they feel that if only they find love, they'll be complete, fulfilled. Others hunger and thirst after wealth, materialism, in the belief that stuff will satisfy. So life is a constant striving after nicer things, bigger things, more comfortable things, state-of-the-art things. But if we stop and think about it, we all know that things don't do the job for us. We've all got that elusive thing finally that we've been striving for and that thrills us for just a little while and then realise that it doesn't last for long. Others hunger and thirst for status, again, in all sorts of ways, maybe in our career. See, for many, job satisfaction is our goal. That's the watchword, isn't it, in the workplace? Job satisfaction. That's our goal. Dare I say it's become a god? Some do find great satisfaction in their career. When I was in the newspaper business, I can remember a time when I loved going to work. I actually looked forward to Monday morning. Believe it or not, I was really disappointed when Friday evening arrived. What a sad man I was. I had to get a life. I loved my work. It filled me. But it didn't last. We can hunger and thirst after all sorts of things in the belief that they will satisfy us. We can hunger and thirst after worthy things. Some look for family life to fulfill. I think of a successful woman working in the West End, not far from here. She was asked what she thought life was all about, and she said this, holding my grandchildren in my arms. Now look, as a new dad, I know what a wonderful thing children are. I know more than ever what the Bible means when it says that children are a gift from the Lord. I'm totally besotted with our two little girls. I love spending time with them. They are giving us so much joy. But ultimately, I will not find myself filled by my family. And that's the issue Jesus is dealing with here in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. It is they and they alone who will be filled. It's that strong here, the word. It's unequivocal. There is only one way to be satisfied, to be filled, and it's found in righteousness. What does it mean to hunger and thirst for righteousness? Well, we don't have to guess. There are two things here that will help us to understand what this hungering and thirsting after righteousness is. Just look at the way Jesus uses this word righteousness in this passage. Look at verse 10 and then verse 11. This is very interesting. Somebody pointed out to me yesterday, only yesterday. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. And then look at verse 11, how he uses the same expression, but then it puts in the place of righteousness another word. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things, all kinds of evil things against you because of me. What does it mean to hunger and thirst after righteousness? It is to hunger and thirst after Jesus. That's the way Jesus uses the word righteousness here. But in case you're not entirely convinced by that, then if you've been here over the last few weeks, you'll know that we've looked again and again at Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. See, where Jesus says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And so as he teaches the Beatitudes, he is saying, I am the fulfillment of the Old Testament. What I'm saying here, you will find in the Old Testament. And so we can presume to find this language of hungering and thirsting in the Old Testament. Now, actually, when you start to search for that, you will find it all over the place. Isaiah 55, Psalm 107, Psalm 17. But I'm going to suggest that we go to Psalm 63 that we had read earlier for us now and see this sort of language of hungering and thirsting. Remember Jesus' words as we turn again to Psalm 63, page 579. Remember he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And also as a bit of background, remember too that when Jesus, when the psalmist wrote, they often wrote about two groups of people, the wicked and the righteous. The wicked were not particularly bad people. They were just people who didn't follow the Lord. And the righteous people were people who did follow the Lord. Now, with that in mind, look at Psalm 63. And here is the language of Jesus' words in the Beatitude. Verse 1, O God, you're my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul, see it there, thirsts for you. And verse 5, my soul will be satisfied, will be filled with the richest of foods. You see the sort of language? That's what Jesus is picking up. The psalmist knows that satisfaction for his soul in verse 5 comes because he has earnestly sought the Lord in verse 1. As my soul thirsts for God, my thirst is quenched because I was made for him, to be in relationship with him. Now that is what it means then to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to be in a right relationship with the Lord. Jesus Christ is saying, I am the fulfillment of that. As you hunger and thirst after me, you will be filled. When I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you see, I am declared righteous and I am filled. I used to wear contact lenses. I used to love wearing contact lenses, except on those occasions first thing in the morning when in front of the bathroom mirror I would drop a lens. Now, contact lenses are designed to live and survive in one environment, and that is in the eye. When they're not in your eye, they can survive in the solution, in the pot that the optician gives you. But they cannot survive on the bathroom floor for long. You know what happens if you leave a contact lens on the bathroom floor? It just sort of dries up and withers and becomes brittle and breaks. So when you drop your contact lens first thing in the morning on the floor, there is a race against time. Of course, you dare not move because you think you might tread on it. And if you're wearing contact lenses, it goes without saying, you cannot see it because you haven't got your contact lenses in. You're as blind as a bat. And all this is happening before 7:30 in the morning. It's no way to start your day. There's enough stress in life as it is. Oh, I don't wear contact lenses anymore. Now, like contact lenses, we were all made for a particular environment. One environment in which we flourish, and that environment is a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if I look for satisfaction in anything else, then I will not be filled. Raquel Welch, remember her? I remember watching a film called, I think it was called 2000 Years BC, or maybe 4000 Years BC, but I was a little boy, and there was Raquel Welch not wearing very much, and that's why I remember the film, I think. Anyway, she said this, I'd acquired everything I wanted, yet I was totally miserable. I thought it very peculiar that I'd acquired everything I'd wanted as a child, wealth, fame, accomplishment in my career. I had beautiful children, a lifestyle that seemed terrific, yet I was totally and miserably unhappy. I found it very frightening that one could acquire all these things and still be so miserable. Freddie Mercury, remember the lead singer of the band Queen, who of course is dead now? He said this, you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man, and that is the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds, but it's prevented me from having the one thing we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship. Now, of course, Freddie Mercury was almost right when he said the one thing we all need is a loving, ongoing relationship. He was almost right, because it's not just any loving, ongoing relationship we all need, it is a loving, ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we were made for. Indeed, to have that is better than life itself. That's what the psalmist says, you see, in verse 3. He says, your love is better than life. And so he is thirsty for that love. He longs to be close to the Lord. This is all language of relationship. Look at verse 7. Because you are my help, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. Have you noticed how you sing when you're happy? How you don't sing when you're not happy? Birds, they don't sing when they're sick. We used to keep budgies, and when we had a sick budgie and we put it in a cage on its own, it would never sing. It's part of the way you know that a budgie is sick. It's very important for you to know that at lunchtime service. Football supporters, they don't sing when they're losing. Have you noticed that? And have you noticed when you get up in the morning that if you're happy that you probably do sing, but if you're not happy, you certainly don't. The psalmist says, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. Being in the Lord, sat in the Lord's presence satisfies him. And you see, to be in someone's shadow there in verse 7, well, you've got to be close to them, haven't you? You've got to be close to someone if you're in the shadow. I was pushing the pram around Regent's Park just last week, and the sun was shining brightly. I'm sorry about the children illustrations. They're bound to come now that I'm a dad. But I was pushing the pram, the sun was shining very brightly, And I can't remember which one either, Bethan or Susanna, had the sun shining on her face. And even when I pulled up the little canopy thing, the sun was still shining on her face. And I had to get closer to her to stop the sun from shining in her eyes so that my shadow would protect her. You see, being in someone's shadow, you've got to be close to them. That is what he's talking about here. I will sing in the shadow of your wings. I will be really happy. Life will really be what it's about when I am so close to you that I'm in your shadow, Lord. Then I'm satisfied. Then I'm filled. Will you then keep these words of Psalm 63 in your mind? O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you, and my soul thirsts for you, there in verse 1. And verse 5, my soul will be satisfied as the richest of foods. Will you keep those words in your mind? And then once again, flip back to Matthew chapter 5, page 968. And as we go back there, we're going back because here is a great surprise that if you're a Christian here today, you probably aren't expecting. Page 968. Remember those words of Jesus in the psalm, and look at this great surprise. The surprise is this, that when Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, he's not speaking to unbelievers. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. We've seen this before over these last few weeks. Look at verse 1. His disciples came to him halfway through verse 1, and he began to teach them, saying, and of course he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Jesus says that to Christians because, Christian, you and I are tempted, as much as everyone else, to look for satisfaction in the wrong things. Isn't that true? We are tempted to take our eye off the ball, to think that hedonism or materialism or love or status or family will fill us. We too fall into the trap of thinking that there is fulfillment in other things. So I meet many Christians who think their careers will fulfill them. That is why they put so much effort, so much of themselves into their career. That's why Christians will put career above serving Jesus Christ. That's why they will get so busy with their profession, consumed by their work, so that they no longer pant after the Lord. They no longer say with the psalmist, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, Lord. See, Jesus wants to rescue us from a life of dissatisfaction, of not being full. He knows that our careers will come to an end. We know that, actually. We know, really, that none of our jobs are secure. And anyway, one day we're going to retire. So if you're looking for fulfillment in your work, then you will be completely deflated one day when your work comes to an end or you have no work. And just as I meet Christians who think their careers will fulfill them, I meet Christians who believe that love will give them that satisfaction. And look, I know it's hard being single when you long to be married, but it is sad to see Christians whose minds are so dominated with the thought of love because they think that's what's missing in their lives. It becomes so much the big thing for them that they also don't say with the psalmist, O God, you're my God, earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. And of course, that is the real challenge of this beatitude. Real believers have to be reminded what really satisfies. As citizens of heaven's kingdom, we must remind ourselves that only to be hungry for Jesus Christ and thirsting after him will satisfy us. And when we remember that, that is what we'll put all our effort into. My guess would be that there are some real Christians here who've known that deep satisfaction from being wholehearted in serving Jesus Christ. Maybe when you first became a Christian, Jesus Christ was everything to you. You longed to know him more. You thirsted for him, and boy, were you satisfied. But for one reason or another, over the years, you've stopped hungering for him. Other things dominate your mind. It's other things that you daydream about now. And it's in other things that you started to look for satisfaction. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for me, then you'll be filled. I've got to say to you, this week's study, as I've been looking at this beatitude, has been a massive challenge for me. As I was walking around Regent's Park, I had to ask the Lord to begin to make this true for me. I asked him that I too would begin to say, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you, because I know that that actually isn't where I'm at the moment. So that's been my prayer in these last days, that the Lord would help me to pray the prayer of the psalmist from my heart, that I would long for him, that I would be convinced that only thirsting after him will satisfy me. Maybe you can join me in praying that prayer as well. And maybe you're an unbeliever here and you're saying, yeah, I've realized that none of these things, other things, do really satisfy me. Maybe you're beginning to be drawn towards Jesus. Maybe this thought of having your thirst quenched is very, very wonderful. Fill in a blue contact card. Speak to me afterwards and sign up for Christianity Explored. I'd love to tell you some more. Jesus says in this beatitude, continually, because that again is the strength of the word here, continually hunger and thirst for righteousness for me, and you will be continually filled. It is a bizarre thing, isn't it? But the way to be full is to be hungry. Hungry for him. Let's pray together. Well, let me leave just a short moment of silence as you make your own response to God. Maybe you're acknowledging that you're a Christian, but you've lost that hungering and thirsting after Jesus, and you might ask for that back. Maybe you're not sure where you stand, or you're an unbeliever. Just tell the Lord that you want to know this fulfillment and ask him to give you courage to know how to take it from here. Now, Lord and God, we've been singing, God of grace, I turn my face to you. We sang at the beginning of our service, only grace provides the way for me to stand complete. And we sang, your grace clothes me in righteousness. Your mercy covers me in love. Your life adorns and beautifies. I stand complete in you. It's easy to sing it and difficult to live it. And so, our Lord and God, we pray that you would indeed help us to say with the psalmist that our soul thirsts for you. And that as we thirst for the Lord Jesus, that we would know that we're full. We pray that then that would change our lives so dramatically that others too would want to thirst after him. And we ask these things in and through the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.